Once again, I would like to welcome everybody for joining Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call this mid-morning session. Today, we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Radhika Kasturi Mataji. Mataji will be enlightening us on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan, Adikanda 1.62. Hare Krishna Radhika Kasturi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for giving your valuable association this morning. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Guru and Gauranga ki jai. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. Let's get started with our prayers. Om Agnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyaita Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Saktikam Namaste Halagre Namaste Mushalayuda Namaste Revati Kanta Namaste Bhaktavatsala Namaste Dharini Dhara Namaste Phalanam Shrestha Pralambare Namaste Stuyehi Mam Krishna Purvaja He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam, Kalav, Nashteva, Nashteva, Katir Anyata. Good morning, everyone. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to express my gratitude and I would like to thank Indu Mataji, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Vinita Gandharvika Mataji for this kind opportunity. And so without any further ado, we can get started with today's class. Before that, I want to pay my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who are there on the call. Please bless me so that I'm able to speak the relevant words of Srila Prabhupada this morning. Thank you so much, dear devotees. Thank you. Hare Krishna. First of all, I wanted to confirm if my audio is okay.
Yes, Mataji, you're fine.
Okay, thank you. All right. So today's verse is 62 and 63. Eanantanamira Shravana Kitani Ete Mate Kene Nahi Bole Ete Chane Ashisha Jinmira Banda Chindite Chane Ateva Vaishnava Nachadena Kabutane. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. If we simply try to engage in the transcendental chanting of the glories of the Lord Anantadev, all dirty things in our hearts accumulated during many births will immediately be washed away. Therefore, Vaishnava never misses the opportunity to glorify Anantadev. Verses 62 to 64 are the translation of verse 55. Please refer to the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically quoted 6.16.42. That is the purport we need to go through that. And then it is being clarified here that also referred to Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5 for the glories of Anantadev. And after giving up the offenses in the chanting of the holy names, if one remembers somehow the name of Anantadev, the knots of speculation born of nescience, which are the root cause of illusory conceptions, are destroyed. As such, Vaishnavas will never attempt to disrespect Anantadev in any way. So today's verse is, as you can see, specifically talks about the glories of Anantadev. And then it also talks about something from sixth canto, which is the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam that we can always discuss. And then it talks about, of course, giving up the offenses during chanting, and also chanting the names of Anantadev, how it actually removes the knot of illusion. So these are some of the discussion points for today's class. So without any further ado, we can get started and get to understand the theme from that perspective. As you all know, Adi Leela, fifth chapter, talks about glorification of Nityananda Prabhu. So I wanted to start off this call by glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvavatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Dvitiya Deha Sri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, he is the fountainhead of all incarnations. And Lord Balaram is his second body. So we understand that from Sri Krishna comes Lord Balaram. So that is important for us to know. And from Balaram, all the other incarnations of the Lord come into picture. And we need to understand Sri Krishna, the purport says, he is the absolute personality of Godhead, the primeval Lord and the original form of Godhead. And his first expansion is Sri Balaram. Ekaye swarupadone bina matra kaya adya kaya vyuha Sri Krishna leela rasahaya. These two are one and same in identity. They differ only in form. And Sri Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Lord Krishna. And he assists Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So this is Balaram. Right? He's the bodily expansion of Lord Krishna. And what does he do? He assists Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. We need to understand they are one and the same identity, but these are two. That is what Srila Prabhupada says through this translation. And we will start to discuss about what the purpose says. Balaram is the Swamsha expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. What is Swamsha expansion? This form has the capability to have unlimited potency. And what is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? They only differ in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity amongst the first quadruple, and he gives rise to the first quadruple expansions. And he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. So this is what Balaram does. How does he assist the Lord? He serves the Lord in his five forms. He assists in the Srishti Lila through his Sankarshan form and the three Vishnu forms. And through Seshanaga, what does he do? He does personal service to the Lord. So this is what is the bed of the Lord. That is the personal service he renders, right? That is the Seshanaga expansion. That is what Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about. So now, since we saw about Anantadev in the purport to this verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, what we can do, I thought, was to go over the Canto 5 from Srimad Bhagavatam, which actually glorifies about Anantadev. So I thought maybe we can get an overview of 5th canto, 25th chapter, to delve in detail about what are the glories of Anantadev. And then we can understand What is he there? What is the function of him? And from that perspective, as to what Srimad Bhagavatam has to offer. So let's understand Srimad Bhagavatam now. Okay, so again, if you look at Bhagavatam as such, Lord Sankarshan and Lord Anantadeva are interchangeably used in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should not get confused with those terminologies per se. So if you look at the glories of Lord Ananta, what is, first we'll just summarize and see what this is about, and then we will go over in deep, then we will try to analyze what this actually means. So first I'll give you an overview of what we are going to talk about, and then we can delve in more as we just go through it. Okay, so let's get started with the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, so in the form of Ananta serpent, so what are the Lord's activities? Lord Ananta, he is the expansion of the Supreme Lord. And where does he reside? He resides 30,000, he's actually below Patala in that way. And he is called Tamasi. Why is he called Tamasi? Because he is the predominating deity in the mode of ignorance. And he is also the supervisor of destruction. And that is the reason why he is called Tamasi. So he's located below Patala and he is called by the name Tamasi. And he's also called by the name Sankarshan. And he is the predominating deity of false ego. And what does he do? He is also characterized by the quality of Tamogun. So these are the two, again, from the perspective of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see why he is called Tamasi and who is the predominating deity of false ego, that is Sankarshan, and he is also characterized by the mode of Tamogun. Again, he is the source of Tamogun, and that doesn't mean, we'll discuss in detail as to what this actually means later. And then, we see in the hood of Anantadev, there is a lot of universes. And all of these universes are like teeny tiny mustard seeds. So these are situated on the hoods of Anantadev. And then Rudra, he appears from Anantadev when he destroys, when there is going to be a destruction that is needed. Rudra, he appears and then he is the one who is responsible for this destruction. So that way he is also involved in this process of destruction. And then in the form of Sankarshan, the beauty of the Lord is being glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam. What does it say? It says he has blue cloth, one earring and a plow on his shoulder. He has well-placed arms and he has a golden belt around his waist and he has tulsi blossoms around his neck. This is what is his beauty, his appearance. And then there is transparent toenails of the Lord and Lord's devotees, they are offering obeisances, seeing this toenails, the brilliant pink toenails are being worshipped by all of them. And how does the Lord actually reciprocate with the serpent princesses? He smears their arms made of aguru, sandalwood and kumkum. So this is how he reciprocates with the serpent princesses. And then it talks about the causeless mercy of the Lord. How costless he is in terms of, pleasing his devotees, how he's so pleasing to the devotees and these demigods, they constantly offer prayers to him. That is how he shows his constant mercy. And then for the person, obviously we know about Narada Muni, he glorifies Ananta in the Brahma assembly with his tambura. And how devotees glorify and meditate on him, he enters the cores of people's heart. And what does he do? He cuts out the ignorance of the people. Whoever has this ignorance, why are we having this ignorance? That is because of the false ego, isn't it? And so he vanquishes the contamination of the three modes. And he is the one who's responsible for destruction of false ego in our heart. And that is why he's the predominating deity. And Narada, he constantly glorifies Anantadev in Brahma's assembly with his Tampura. See, these are some of the glorification from the devotee's perspective, how they glorify him, how he enters into people's heart, and how he cuts out this knot of ignorance, and how he vanquishes the contamination of three modes. This is how the devotees appreciate, and how Narada Muni, in contrast, he is constantly glorifying the Lord, which is what is being clarified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then if we move on, it also talks about the point that he is incomprehensible, right? I mean, so many things he does, and so it is very, very impossible for us with our mindset to understand him. How incomprehensible he is being described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, obviously, glorification of the glories of the holy name is being clarified also in the purport. It talks about how a sinful person, he chants the glories in a joking mood. There is a chance for him to become free of his sins. And what about people who constantly chant the glories of the holy names of the Lord? And the glories of his qualities are also being talked about. It is unlimited. People need thousands of tongues to glorify his name. And he glorifies Lord Krishna, and that glorification is never complete, and that is what he feels. So the glories of his powers, they support and sustain the entire universe. So there is glories of his holy name, there is glories to his qualities, and then there is also glories of his powers, because he is the one who is responsible for sustenance of this entire universe. So this is a comprehensive summary of what Srimad Bhagavatam actually talks about in the 25th chapter. And now, let's try to understand some of the purports in detail so that we understand the true glories. I mean, obviously, the summary gives you just an overview, right? I mean, it just gives you a quick snapshot of what this canto or what this particular chapter talks about. And now, if we just delve a little bit deeper into the purports, then we will understand the significance of some of the things that are being talked about. So we will try to discuss some of Srila Prabhupada's purport and understand them so that we can more so glorify Anantadev. Anantadev ki jai. So we find Anantadev in the lower planetary system, as we spoke about, right, in Patala. And because, again, Srila Prabhupada clarifies that he is the transcendental Lord, and wherever he is situated, the Lord is completely transcendental. And this is what transcendental means. What does the transcendental mean? Transcendental means it is beyond time and space. So wherever Krishna is, he is never at the bottom of the universe. Even if he is in the bottom of the universe, no problem. He is always transcendentally situated. And he is always in the spiritual realm, and he has nothing to do with the material energy. So now, so that is definitely an understanding we must have, because obviously Lord is in Patala. Does it mean he has something to do with the material energy? No, not at all. He is always transcendental, and he is always in the spiritual realm. And we know he is an expansion of Balaram, and again, he is known as Ananta or Lord Sankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, and he is the supreme worshipable deity for Lord Shiva. And he is also called Tamasi Tamasi, as we saw in the summary. Tamasi means one who possesses all tamas or ignorance. But since he is the source of this, although he may possess it, nothing is external to him and nothing is outside of him. That means he is not at all touched by these modes of ignorance or passion or goodness. He is above the modes. And that is the first point we talked about, saying he is transcendental. Even though he might be he is worshipped by Shiva, who is the deity of Tamogun or darkness. And that is why he is called Tamasi, who Ananta is called Tamasi for that reason. And now, as we saw, Ananta is responsible for the false ego of all conditioned souls, right? What does this mean? We need to definitely understand this concept so that we are clear what this actually means to us. So now, a very important point, I would like you devotees to pay some attention here. So this is an important concept. When a conditioned living entity thinks, okay, I am the enjoyer, right? I am the enjoyer. And every conditioned living entity thinks so, right? Thinks that way. I am the enjoyer. Why? What is the reason? Because this mood is dictated by the false ego or false identity. But the real identity of us is we are all Krishna's servant. That is the real identity. But what does this false ego do? The false ego makes us think we are the enjoyer. So when we identify with that identity, what happens? We think ourselves as the enjoyer, right? That is what happens. And the first thing that needs to be acquired when we come into this material world is false ego. So Anantadev, he is the predominating deity of that, meaning he is the predominating deity of the false ego. So it means he is the one who gives us that false ego. So when a conditioned living being thinks I am the enjoyer I'm the enjoyer of this world and everything I have to enjoy, this conception of life is defined by Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan is the one who defines this. So the point that we need to understand from this is that even if we have to be in illusion, it cannot be through our own power. We cannot do that through our own power. If we think, okay, I can be in illusion and my own power, that is also not possible. So that is where Lord comes into picture. So to be in illusion, you can't even do it without Sankarshan's mercy. So because again, we need to be in illusion because what is the reason again? It goes back to the point that we want to be enjoyers. So this is the understanding, dear devotees, that how Sankarshan actually plays a role in giving us this identity of false ego and makes us think that we are the enjoyers meant to enjoy in this material world. That is an important point. Okay, another concept that I would like to also talk about. So let's try to understand. So again, we are always being told or we always think, okay, we are tiny, we are insignificant. And this conception is also by Sankarshan, meaning the conditioned soul thinks that the universe is centered around him and his needs. How can we understand this concept? I would like to quote an example of Srila Prabhupada. Once a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I am so fallen. I have a very great problem. And Srila Prabhupada said, just see, there is a contradiction here. What does Srila Prabhupada mean by that contradiction is something that we need to understand. He just said, I'm fallen and I have a great problem. So what is the contradiction that Srila Prabhupada talks about here? He says, how can someone be so insignificant and so fallen and have a great problem? Someone who is insignificant, he has to have an insignificant problem, isn't it? How can he have a great problem? That is where he sees the contradiction. So I thought that was very relevant for our discussion here today. So this is how we think. Even though in one hand, with our great humility, we think we have fallen, we are insignificant. But again, we feel our problems are big. So everything is important. Whatever happened to us is so important. That is what is the center of our attention. But actually we are tiny and insignificant. So this consciousness is dictated by Lord Anantadev. That is the point I was trying to relate it to by using Srila Prabhupada's example. How are we having this mentality? This mentality in this illusion comes to us by Lord Anantadev. Right, and if we delve more into the purports, we'll understand more things that Srila Prabhupada clarifies. They're all gems. So the first purport says 5.25.1. So now let's just try to understand it again. I'm just trying to paraphrase in my own words, but the point would be conveyed. So now, as I told you in the summary, we saw thousands of foods appeared like mustard seeds and they're all so tiny and insignificant. That means the universe, the planets, all of them, they're all so tiny And then each one of them populates thousands and billions of living entities, which is what, I mean, we are just, we are there in this material world, which has 14 planetary systems. And there are billions of living entities there. So now, if you understand the structure as such, these planets are all looking, I mean, these universes are all looking like teeny tiny mustard seeds. And in one of the universes, we are located. And how tiny are we? Can we imagine? That is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to convey. And, you know, why, I mean, when you compare it in a grand scheme of things, we are also infinitesimal in the hood of Anantadev. And here, we are thinking ourselves to be significant. This is called illusion. So we need to understand what is illusion, isn't it? So when in the broad scheme of things, we are talking about planetary systems, how planetary systems are, how many are there, how, and these planetary systems or the universes as such are like a teeny mustard seed. And how tiny are we in one of the universes that we are located? So we think ourselves to be insignificant. I mean, we think ourselves to be significant. And this is called illusion. So now, again, as we understand, Lord Sankarshan is responsible for us to have this illusion, for us to think we are the enjoyers, for us to enjoy this material world, because that is what is our desire. And Lord is not forcing us. Okay, you have this. You have this concept of illusion so that you can be free to enjoy whatever you want in this material world. And then coming to the Srishti Leela point of view, Lord Sankarshan, so in the living entities are given a chance, right? Again, we are given a chance, we misuse this opportunity and do not go back to Godhead. And now Lord Sankarshan, he becomes angry. Now the 11 Rudras, the expansions of Lord Shiva, they come out of Sankarshan's eyebrows due to his angry mood. And all of them together, what do? They devastate this entire universe. That is what they do. Again, we need to understand a very important point here, right? Anantasesh, he is experiencing anger, as I told you. But this is not born out of Rajogun, right? They are not the same as we may experience. They are of completely different quality, like iron and gold. Again, you may say, oh, iron and gold? What are you talking about, Mataji? They are both metals. And again, iron and gold, I don't deny, both are metals. But the qualities of these metals is completely different. When a conditioned soul experiences anger, he is experiencing it because he is in the mood of Rajogun. There's no, I mean, obviously, that is what a conditioned soul is. But again, when Anantasesh is experiencing anger, it is out of spiritual anger, spiritual love, right? The tendency, again, for us to always, there is this tendency for us. What is the tendency? We mistake the loving dealings of Radha and Krishna to be material. We see outside according to our own mind. Because mind, it has these material experiences. When we hear about Lord Krishna or Anantadev, there is a tendency, again, the tendency is that because of these material experiences, there is a chance for us to think they are not completely different. They are like me. But again, we need to understand they are the truth. They are the reality. And what we experience is just a reflection. Again, it is just a false reflection and there is no actual substance, which we need to be very, very clear of. Again, what we experience in this material world is the perverted reflection of what happens in the spiritual world, right? We look for love, we look for satisfaction, we look for relationships. And again, we are looking in the shadowy world, which is this reflective world, and we cannot ourselves be happy. So that is why we are asked to turn towards Krishna, from darkness to the Lord. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no darkness. So we are being asked to turn towards Krishna. Then what happens is we will be able to get a clear picture, right? So this is definitely an understanding. So again, it is being talked about in the purport that we should always meditate upon Lord Sankarshan. And what does he do? As I told you in the summary, he vanquishes all the dirty contaminations that is seen in our heart, and he removes this mode of ignorance that is seen in a conditioned soul's heart. So the desire to dominate this material nature, all this will be eradicated when we pray to Lord Sankarshan, which is what Srila Prabhupada again clarifies in the purport. So as I told you before, there is a tendency for us to think and act as if we are the center and the world is actually revolving around me. That is the conception we have. This is the illusion we are speaking of. And within the heart, there is this tight knot of illusion. What do? We turn the back on Krishna. Krishna Bhuli Sei Jiva Anadi Bahir Mukha Ateva Maya Tare Deya Samsara Dukha. Turning our back on Krishna, what happens as a result of this? As a result of this, we get into misery. And how can this misery be removed? How can this, this misery that the knot, that how can we remove this knot? This can be removed by Lord Sankarshan if we remember him. So this is what is the point that is being clarified. We know this very beautiful verse from Bhagavad Gita. Purusha prakritistoki punte prakriti jankunan karanam gunasankasya sadasadyoni janmashu. When we turn our back on Krishna, we end up with this false ego again. And this is characterized by the desire to enjoy this material energy. We try to dominate this material energy. As a result, what happens? You get birth after birth. You being put into happiness and distress, so on, one situation after another, hoping, okay, we are going to get a sweet fruit out of this. But you are not going to get anything like that. One after the other, what we are led by is just the circumstance. We are just being propelled by the desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. So this root can be broken by the mercy of Sankarshan. And our desires determine where we are situated, isn't it? Godly desires will become godly. If we have heavenly desires, then we will go to heaven. If we have selfish, nasty desires, then we are going to go to hellish places. So our desires are the ones which actually help us situated in a place. We also know a very, very famous verse from 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very, very often quoted. Bayam dvitiya binivesha tasya isha tapetasya viparyayo smritihi tanmaya yato bhutaava chetam bhaktyaika esham guru devadatma. What does that say? What happens is, the first thing that happens is isha tapetasya. You are turning away your face from Krishna. And what happens after that? Maya Devi catches you. And then we get different coverings. What happens? The first thing that happens is you forget your spiritual identity. You forget that you are the Das of Lord Krishna. And then what happens? After you forget your identity, you have to identify with something, na? Then you start identifying with your body. After you identify with the body, you completely identify and absorb yourself thinking you are the body. This is what happens. And then the next consequence result of that is there is fear of samsara. You fear of samsara. And what happens? Okay, these are the process one by one. It happens first. You turn away. Then maya comes into play. And then the coverings come into play. And then you start to fear about samsara. What next? The next thing that happens, the next solution. Obviously, we need a solution now. Gurudeva Dhatma, surrender to Guru and accept him as a life and soul. Through pure devotional service, then worship Lord Krishna. Eka bhaktya. Ekaya bhaktya, right? You have to worship, first of all, Guru. We have to surrender to the Guru. Make him the life and soul of each and every activity you perform. And after you do that, what do? Eka bhaktya. You surrender. I mean, through pure devotional service, you start to worship Lord Krishna. Which is the understanding that Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto says, right? And then if you look into the purport of eighth, I mean, the 25th chapter, eighth verse, what does Srila Prabhupada say there? Well, he says the contamination of heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by three modes of nature, especially the modes of rajas and modes of ignorance, which is tamas. The contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of us becoming purified of this contamination. This is a very important understanding we need to have. How important is transcendental knowledge, and how important is that it is for us to take this contamination of the heart, right? Our heart is so contaminated. It has a lot of garbage in it. It is stuffed with a lot of things that are unwanted and undesirable. And that is why it is being stressed over and over that we need to purify our heart. And how to purify our heart? How to do that? That is always a question we ask, isn't it? How do we purify? And Srila Prabhupada always says, hearing and chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord can help you purify your heart. There is a great, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know about Gundicha margin, Gundicha pastime, right? So again, the Lord is located in our heart, but we are not noticing it. We have kept it in such a contaminated situation, and that is the reason why we are all suffering. He is transcendental, but we are not. And therefore, we are suffering, and it definitely feels so miserable. Gundicha pastime was introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this pastime is a very famous pastime. Obviously, most of you all know the story of Gundicha marching, Gundicha pastime. And the main thing that is being pointed out here is that we know that temple is 2 miles of northeast of Jagannath temple. And Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they are brought out, they pull the cart and they take procession to stay in the Gundicha temple for a week. And after the week, they are being brought back to the Jagannath temple. And a lot of people gather there. And Mahaprabhu, what did he do at that time is something that I would like to quote. Because this pastime shows how important it is for us to cleanse our heart. How important it is. Mahaprabhu actually shows it through his personal example. What did he do? He called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Mahaprabhu, he had to take permission from Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Pratap Rudra told him that, you know, what he told his superintendent that, okay, whatever Lord desires, your desire, that desire of the Lord, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, has to be executed. The king has ordered, they say that, okay, the king ordered me to do anything for you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You just have to express it and we will immediately execute your orders. Don't think otherwise. If you simply order it, we will do whatever you desire. Whatever you need, we will arrange for all of that. All you need is tell us what to do. In fact, we will do the work also for you. No problem. This is what is Maharaj Pratap Rudra's order. And now, Mahaprabhu, he said, thanks for that. And because he doesn't want to order or delegate his work. He wanted to personally do it. He wanted us to see that as an example and to learn from him how important it is for us to cleanse our hearts. And so he said, to do this activity, we need a lot of brooms, a lot of water pots. So, the superintendent said, yeah, we will give you hundreds of brooms, hundreds of water pots tomorrow. So on that day, Mahaprabhu, he marched towards his associates towards Gundicha temple. And as soon as he reached Gundicha temple, Srila Prabhupada, he gives us an idea of how big that place is. So big, it has big outside compound wall, it has huge residential places, it has a huge hall. And this is what is the description that Srila Prabhupada says. And then he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went there along with his associates. What did he do as the first thing? He took all of his associates, he took sandy paste, a sandalwood paste, and then he decorated the heads of all the devotees. And he is kind of giving them a blessing. He's kind of giving an indication to understand, don't think you're going to do an ordinary event. No. This is not at all an ordinary event. He worshipped those who are about to take up this process of cleansing of the temple. He worshipped them literally, and then gave everyone, a broomstick. And then he also took one, and he, with great enthusiasm, he entered inside. And after that, he started to cleanse. It is described in great detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita how scrutinizingly and how thoroughly he cleansed the temple. Inside the hall, outside, everywhere, he cleansed it so thoroughly. And after the whole thing was cleansed, once the dust was collected, whatever particles were there, he picked it up personally in his own cloth and went and threw outside. And when the devotees saw that he was personally using his own cloth that he was collecting, they also started collecting with their own cloth and they threw it. See how he inspired the devotees also to do what he did. I mean, through his action. If you were to delegate it to somebody, then the point would not have been conveyed, isn't it? Even for us to learn from this pastime, how much can we learn through Mahaprabhu? How he personally did this activity so scrutinizingly and so thoroughly, and he picked it up with his own cloth and threw all of the dust that was there. And Mahaprabhu said, let me see who can collect the most. Whoever piles the biggest, then they are really doing a good job of cleaning. That is what I will say. That's what Mahaprabhu said. And Mahaprabhu had bigger pile, larger than all of them put together. And, when he was cleaning, he just did that so enthusiastically. That is the reason why he was able to collect so much, because of his enthusiasm, because of his eagerness to do, and because of his scrutinizing effort, he was able to collect large pile, larger than all of them put together. And then the second time, what happened was they were again going to clean the temple. This time, the final dust, wherever there are some cracks in the areas, he wanted to collect all of them. And the 100 people, they were standing ready with the water pots, waiting just for an indication. As soon as Mahaprabhu says, they wanted to deliver this water pots. And Mahaprabhu called them and they came in. He took the pot and he cleaned not only just the floor, but also the ceiling walls. All of them, they were all thoroughly cleaned. So he took the water and threw it in the ceiling so that the ceiling walls are all taken care of. You look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally threw it on the ceiling and he, poured it up. So then he started to scrub and clean the whole place. People became so enthusiastic seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of them were working so eagerly. This enthusiasm and eagerness, if one person does it, then you get that enthusiasm and eagerness from the other person, isn't it? And all of them, if somebody wants a water pot, they will call Krishna, Krishna. Somebody wants a broom, he would say Krishna, Krishna. And somebody wanted something else, they will say Krishna, Krishna. So this way, hundreds and thousands of people, they were all so eagerly and enthusiastically participating in this cleaning activity because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were nearby wells, they will start picking up water, and whenever they need it, they would start to cleanse. So this is the incident that Mahaprabhu personally depicted through his personal sweet example. And so what happened was, at this point in time, there was this Vaishnava. When he saw Mahaprabhu doing all this, what did he do? He collected he started to wash the lotus feet of the Lord, and he started to collect water from it, and he started to drink. And looking at that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became wild. He was like, oh my God, he called up Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, look at this fellow, what he has done. He has just committed such a big offense here in the temple. He washed my feet and he drank this water. And leave alone his destination. What will my destination be? I'm going to go to hell. So Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that Mahaprabhu indicated that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas are under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. That is the parampara system. So Mahaprabhu, he was internally pleased, but externally very angry because he had to set up a proper mood, right? And Swarup Goswami, I mean, what did he do after Mahaprabhu said this to Swarup Goswami? I mean, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he happened to catch him by his neck and then he gently ejected him out of the temple and he asked him to stay outside. So that is what Mahaprabhu depicted through this pastime. I mean, obviously, he also chastised people if they were not doing their job properly. So he was teaching them by example, and also, you know, whenever chastisement was needed, he did that through this pastime. And this is a very, very important pastime to help us understand how it's important for us to clean our heart. Because what happens is when we clean our heart, then Lord enters into our heart, isn't it? That is the significance of Gundicha Margin pastime. So if we make Lord Jagannath, if we have Vrindavan as our heart, I mean, if we have a heart like Vrindavan, then Lord will never leave Vrindavan, isn't it? Lord will always want to stay in Vrindavan. If our hearts become like Vrindavan, then Krishna would never want to leave Vrindavan. So that is the point. We have to make our heart pure, clean, cool. And that is how Krishna will be there permanently in our heart. You may ask, okay, he's there as Paramatma, but he's not reciprocating with us, isn't it? Why is he not reciprocating? He will become reciprocal once we start to show our symptoms of advancement, our symptoms of purification. So when that finer and finer dust particles are removed from our heart, then what happens? You'll be shining. You'll be shining like a mirror. That is what happens. That is what will be seen by the Lord. And then he will be able to reciprocate with us. Okay, now I would like to quote what is this change of heart actually means by quoting a beautiful story by Sachinanda Maharaj Swami. So he happened to say, he say this beautiful story. I mean, so now we'll try to understand the story. What is the story? So he said there was once a bhakta in Bengal, okay? And this bhakta was a very ecstatic bhakta, very, very ecstatic, very, very joyful, very, very happy go guy. So that sort of person he is. And he was chanting the name of the God. And suddenly there was, he was chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord. And he saw a little crowd of people. And you know, in India, it doesn't take a long time for us to make a crowd. So he looked there and he saw there was one dead cow. Okay. And of course, people around saw this dead cow discussing, okay, this is a dead cow. And what are we supposed to do with this dead cow? Like that, people were contemplating. And when this man, he came and saw this dead cow, he was like jumping, singing and rolling in ecstasy. Oh, one may wonder, what is going on? What is happening? Jai, Jai, he's saying, it is so nice. It is so nice. And all of the people, you know, they were looking around at him and they said, what is so nice about it? Why are you manifesting this strange reaction to this whole occasion? What is the point? What are you trying to do? Why are you rolling like this? Why are you so much in joy? Why are you jumping like this? We don't understand. Can you please tell us? He said, this is that cow. Don't you understand this? This is that cow. What do you mean? This is that cow. This is that cow. What does it mean? You know what? This is that cow. The skin of that cow. Skin of this cow. The leather of this cow can be made into a mridanga. And it can be used in Lord Sankirtan movement. How lucky is this cow? Hari bol, hari bol. How lucky is this cow? This everyone looked at him and they said, hari bol. But they didn't feel the same thing that the other person felt. Right? This is what is change of heart according to Maharaj. This was the example he quoted. This person who was ecstatic about that cow. This is that cow. This is that cow. Hari bol, hari bol, jai, jai. Singing and rolling in ecstasy and trying to feel what this outcome of this cow could be, right? How glorious is this cow? Because his skin could be used in the service of the Lord. Wow, that was the realization. And that is change of heart. That change of heart has to happen to all of us, dear devotees. Let's just pray and pray. Only through this, I mean, it cannot happen by our own endeavors. Nothing is possible by our own endeavors. It is just the mercy of the Lord that is coming to us. We know Lord has His opulences, and whatever we have, He's just sharing a teeny tiny bit of His opulence, nothing more. And that is the realization we need to have. We can never be puffed up and we can never say, I did this. No, it is not you. It is through the mercy that is flowing from the parampara, we are able to do what we are able to do. Nothing belongs to us. I'm talking these things, and all these realizations are borrowed realizations. It's coming from so many exalted devotees. And I'm just trying to be a parrot, like a parrot trying to repeat their words, and nothing belongs to me. That is the mercy that our parampara offers. We are able to preach the message of Srila Prabhupada through the devotees of the Lord, through our Guru Vargas, we are able to preach. If not for them, we will not be in a position to speak. And I mean, we will not be in a position to speak of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is just their mercy. It is just their mercy. Somehow Krishna, He wants us to come back to Him. And whatever He is doing is just to facilitate and help in the mission. He just wants to come back to us somehow or the other. So we need to understand that nothing belongs to us. He is meant to enjoy. And when we do things that are actually meant for our enjoyment, it is actually interfering with Him. In the sense, you know, it is not right, and we are not there yet. And that is where purification comes into play, to bridge the gap, right? So theoretically, we may know things, but we are at the mercy of the Lord so that we can get our hearts purified and change our mentality and perspective to things and come out of this illusion, false ego, and have the real ego established in our heart. This is the understanding, dear devotees. All right. And now, moving on, the purport also talks about, as I mentioned in the summary, it talks about Lord's different incarnations and pastimes. So he comes there so many times in many forms within this world, and he exhibits different pastimes. Why he does all of this, right? To conquer the minds of the devotees. That is why he comes. He wants to give pleasure to their hearts, because the devotees means they love Krishna, isn't it? So they are always there thinking about Lord Krishna. And through his causeless mercy, he is just purely giving them pleasure. Krishna is able to reciprocate with their love. He feels so much satisfaction by giving pleasure to them. They are enraptured by his beauty, by the way he deals with devotees, by the way he captures people's heart. And that is why he takes so many different forms to satisfy so many different devotees with different moods. So he is all powerful. Yet he accepts these different forms, and each of these forms, all of them are transcendental and nothing to do with matter. We must be very, very clear about that fact. We cannot try to, first of all, understand him with this material mind, because our material mind is loaded with a lot of material experiences and impressions from so many births. So our mind has to be purified, and for that our senses needs to be engaged in Krishna conscious service so that we will be able to understand a little bit of who Krishna is. Till that time, it is incomprehensible. And after that also, it becomes incomprehensible. Of course, it is Achinta Bheda Veda. But as much as possible, we try to understand a teeny tiny bit. And that is also again due to the mercy of the parampara. So we have nothing at all. So now it is being talked about in the purport that while bearing the universe on one of his hoods, Anantadev, he chants the glories of Lord Krishna with thousands of his mouth. ಕಾಯಿನಂತ ಶ್ರೀ ಯಶಿರ ನಹಿ ಅಂತ ಚಾಯ ಬಾಹ ಬಾಂಗ ನಾಹಿ ಕಾರೋ ತುಂಗೆ ಫಲವಂತ. Although he has been chanting the glories of Krishna since the time immemorial, he has not at all come to an end. To this very day, Ananta, he continues to chant the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still he finds no end to them. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different than Krishna, isn't it? So which is what being quoted in the purport. And then we now come to the next section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is being quoted in the purport of Chaitanya Mahabhagavat, right? 6.16.44. So this particular verse, there is a relevance there, right? The Chitraketu, he tells that he has obtained the direct results of Bhakti or Bhagavata Dharma. So far he gloried, there was, till text 43, I believe, he glorified Bhagavata Dharma, and now he's saying about Chitraketu is actually sharing his experiences on the result of that Bhagavata Dharma, which is what is being quoted in the purport of Chaitanya Bhagavat. What does that say? Oh Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Just from seeing you, all my sins, they have been destroyed. By hearing one of your names, he's talking about Anantadev, right? Because Sankarshan is his worshipable deity. By hearing one of your names, even an outcast is delivered from the material world. Now he's talking about how he has obtained the direct results of pure bhakti. Just one name is sufficient to do this. Then question will be asked, what will happen if I chant many names of the Lord? Okay, then another point is being raised. Just one time hearing is sufficient. What will happen if one hears many, many times? Just then another point is brought out. Just by hearing the name, this happens. What will happen if one chants the name? Just hearing the name can bring so much glories. Then what will happen if one actually starts to chant the glories of the holy names of the Lord? This happens even for outcasts. Then what will happen to the others? What is the status of the others? Then it says, this purport says, it delivers one from the material world. Then what to speak of destroying all the sins? This is the result one sees by the practice of sadhana, right? We need to understand how grateful we are to our parampara at this point in time. Because without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, without the mercy of our Guru Vargas, we will not be having this holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed it and Nityananda Prabhu distributed it freely to all. So this shows his eagerness, how eager he is to receive all of us back home, back to Godhead. We just need to put in an endeavor and Krishna takes care of the rest. Again, a very important point that always, comes as realization or it comes as striking to me is we never offend any devotees. That is when Krishna gets disturbed. As long as we don't offend devotees, we are very well situated in our sadhana. The moment we start to offend devotees, that's when we start falling down little by little. So we need to be very careful, dear devotees, not to offend anyone. So let's just be careful because Krishna doesn't like that at all. He is okay even if we do something to him. But then when it comes to his devotees, we are very clearly seen through Ambarish Maharaj's example from Srimad Bhagavatam, how Durvasa Muni, when he went to him, he was not at all happy. I mean, he said, no, you just have to go to Ambarish Maharaj and ask for pardon. I can't do anything. It is my devotee who has to excuse you and I don't have any control. So many examples from Chaitanya. I don't want to go in that direction, but I just wanted to stress that point because that is a sure shot of devotees fall down. So we need to be very, very careful about that. And so there is also another important point here. It is that through the association of Narada Muni, Chitraketu was able to get this, isn't it? Through the mercy of Narada Muni. If Narada Muni did not, you know, he came as a blessing. And because of this association, he became a devotee. And now he has the direct realization, direct darshan of Lord Sankarshan. So this is the understanding. Again, the mercy comes to us by association of devotees. And I was going to quote the story in this regard. But again, we are running out on time. I just wanted to probably end in a few minutes here, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, to talk about the glories of the holy names of the Lord. Again, I'm not going to talk about the glories, but I'm just going to give you some points there. So we've heard it so many times, okay, glories of the holy names of the Lord. And sometimes there is a chance for us to become sensitized, right? We become insensitive. We are not, we become unaffected by the glories. We become callous, we can say. Because many times we have heard it, oh, holy name can deliver one. Holy name can do this. Then we become dull about it. So there are statements dating 5,000 years back. What happened was Valmiki Muni, he happened to chant Mara, Mara, Mara. And then he became a saintly person. He was a highway robber. One might say, oh, this is not relevant. This happened long time ago. And that is where we bring example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to say, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? He danced in the street. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they danced on the streets of Nadia. And most dangerous people, they have all been delivered due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. In this incarnation of Gaur Nithai, the Lord is not supposed to kill the demons, but he is supposed to deliver them. By how? By preaching Krishna consciousness. In case of Jagai Madai, what happened? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry. He was even immediately going to kill these people. But then Nityananda Prabhu, what did he do? He was so kind. He not only saved them from death, but he also elevated them to the transcendental position. So what was not possible for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, if one is true to Gaur Nithai service in disciplic succession, he can excel even Nityananda Prabhu. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai. But the servant of Nityananda Prabhu, he can deliver thousands of Jagai and Madai. That is the special benediction that is given to us by the disciplic succession. So one who is situated in this disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. Srila Prabhupada, how much he did, how can someone transform hippies? This is just unimaginable, isn't it? We can't even imagine how they were so affected, how the hippies were affected by their past conditioning. And for them to become vegetarians, it's a big, big, big deal. For them to leave alcohol, big deal. How is this possible? Only through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. They gave us this benediction. You can do even more than what we could do. And because of the power of disciplic succession, we can all do that through their mercy. And that is why we don't come into picture. If we are preaching or if we are doing anything for Krishna, that I never comes into picture, because we are not doing even, Raghunath Maharaj says this, even the act of breathing, we can't just perform on our own. We need the mercy of the Lordships for that. So the very act of breathing requires their mercy. So we all have to pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that we can get the mercy for us to transform our heart, for us to purify our hearts, and not only purify our hearts, but also because we have got this rare jewel, we need to make sure that others also get this rare jewel and understand the glories of the Lord. And so that is why preaching is important, because we want to share our happiness and the gem that we have with all others, so that everybody can become Krishna conscious and everybody can go back to Godhead and serve the Lord in their constitutional position. which is what is the need of the hour. There is the urgency that we have. And because of this urgency, we are being carried away. And this urgency, this enthusiasm, this scrutinizing effort, this determination, everything has to come from the mercy of the Lordships. And we pray at the lotus feet of the Lordships so that they can bestow it to us. And just wanted to conclude by saying thank you for this opportunity again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Lord Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Anantadev ki jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for patiently listening to me for this, 1 hour and 10 minutes. I appreciate everybody's time here. And whatever I said first applies to me and it then applies to all you devotees. So just wanted to clarify that, because obviously whatever points I say, it's just first for me to apply and for me to practice, and then it applies to you. Hope if you have any questions, you can definitely go ahead. But again, I really thank you for this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat, Srila Prabhupada, I really loved the class. Very nicely structured and very beautiful points covered, very detailed from the purport. We could see the immersion that you had when you were telling the past tense, how much you were feeling and talking about every sentence that you said. So thank you so much for that. And that makes it very effective also. So thank you again. I just wanted to say thank you for talking about the glories of Anantadev, the blessing of the Gundicha Mandir, and also talking about the wonderful glories of the holy name. I think you just covered everything. I had a question, Mataji. The question was directly from the fifth canto of the Bhagavata. So as you were describing Anantadev, because when I this is just from my bad memory, but I was just wondering how Anantadev, I mean, you did say about the arms and the goblins and the chandan and, you know, the Naga, what do you call them, the ladies, the women Nagas worshipping Anantadev and all that. Does Bhagavatam really explicitly talk about how Anantadev exactly looks like, his face, like, or is it just a serpent head, or does he have a human-like face? So that question I've been having for a very long time.
Yes, Mataji, absolutely. So there is the hood that we talked about, and this hood is supporting the 14 planetary systems, which we saw in the Vedic cosmology, right? That is the Satyavesh avatar of Anantadev. And go ahead, Mataji.
The question there was when he's present there in his personal form, and of course, he's definitely.
That's what I wanted to come. There's also this two-handed form, the Vishnu Tattva form, that is being glorified by all of them. So there's this personal form, and there's also a hood in the hood. So the hood form. So there are these two forms. So the form that is worshipped by all of the demigods, the snake serpents, and all of them is the form, the real form, where we say he's the Vishnu Tattva, right? And that is the second Chaturvyuha form, which is being glorified. That is the Sankarshan from Vaibhav Vilash. Go ahead, Mataji. Now you go ahead with your question.
So that means, just to clarify your answer,
correct,
that there is this Vishnu faced form. Of correct. Course, the Vishnu wearing Tattva. Garlands. Yes. So he's wearing garlands and all that. And he's worshipped by the Naga princesses, who are in snake-like forms.
Correct.
And also, as his expansion, this personality, he himself takes the form of a snake and he holds up the universe.
Correct, Mataji. He is the Satyavesh avatar. He's a Jiva Tattva. The one who's holding up the universe's, the 14 planetary system, is Jiva Tattva. He's empowered by Baladev, the one who's holding up the who.
Okay. So the reason I asked this question, I mean, thank you for that confirmation, Mataji. I've always been confused about this because sometimes in the Bhagavatam verses, I don't know, of course, I'm not quoting out of the book, so I might be wrong, but from my memory, I'm just trying to recollect. Some of the Bhagavatam verses have both these combined together. Like, you know, 1 minute they are describing him wearing garlands and all that, and second minute they are saying he has the snake who's carrying up the universes.
Correct.
Right? So that was so confusing.
Correct.
So
correct.
I would always imagine how he would look.
Correct, Mataji. You're absolutely right. Because that's also the question initially when I was, I mean, I definitely had this question as well, Mataji. So it definitely makes sense. That was a brilliant
question.
Thank
you so much for your research, and thank you so much for making such a fabulous presentation. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Dr. Kasturi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Sadhguru Srila Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful session. Very wonderful. You presented the entire verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat, quoting so many references from Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I really like, you know, the point you said that on our own we are nothing. So even if we say that, you know, our illusion is also coming from the spark of that Supreme Lord. And as Anantadev, he is the presiding deity of false ego. So he, through material energy, instigate that false ego in us. But if we want to get rid of that false ego again, we have to take surrender to Anantadev only. Because he is the one who will help us to get rid of this false ego. And also your beautiful point of Gundicha Marjan, the entire story you narrated, the pastime you narrated, it was so wonderful. So overall, you know, the glorification of chanting of the holy name, yes, overall the presentation was awesome, Mataji. Regarding Preeti Vilasini Mataji's question, you answered it so wonderfully. But one sentence, if maybe I heard wrong.
Sure.
No, you said that the Anantadev who is carrying these 14 planetary system is a Jiva Tattva?
Correct. Satyavishya Avatar of the Lord.
Is there any reference to it? Because how can Lord
yes, Mataji.
Contact with Jiva Tattva?
One second.
Yeah,
I think
Lagu Bhagavatamrita, I remember one reference.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mataji. You
Mataji, you go ahead. Yeah.
That's all. I just remember one reference from Prabhu Bhagavatamrita, which I don't have in hand now to show. So you can do that.
Yeah. No, but the Anantadev of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or the Anantadev on whom Karanodakshaya Vishnu is lying, which one is Jiva Tattva?
No, Mataji, we are talking about the one who holds the 14 planetary systems. So the one, you're talking about the beds, right? The beds of, the beds of Karnodakshaya.
Yeah, the Karnodakshaya Vishnu and the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
The beds is... What is it, Mataji?
Those beds are not the Jiva Tattvas.
No. They are not the Jiva Tattvas. I'm just talking about the ones that is holding the 14 planetary systems. I'll show you what exactly.
The universe has a different Anant who is holding those 14 planetary systems.
Yeah, that is what I'm talking about. And there is also a personal form which is being worshipped there. So which is not Jiva Tattva, which is Vishnu Tattva.
Oh, now I... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Sakasturi Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for explaining today's class so wonderfully. So wonderfully, you started the class by first glorifying Nityananda Mahaprabhu. Thank you so much. And then you gave beautifully some summary from Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 25. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful class and your wonderful association. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, if you have any questions or realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the beautiful class as Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Kirtida Sundari Mataji mentioned. As always, as expected, you know, with so much details. And thank you for every point that you were bringing it up with so much of emotion you have. It shows the, you know, the amount of study that you do and the amount of devotion that you have. And so many times you're saying because of Guru and Srila Prabhupada, that was so wonderful again for us to remember. And I was very, very happy and very, you know, I mean, as I came to Krishna consciousness, I had selected few verses on holy name so that I can read and feel the glory. But, you know, so busy in chanting 16 rounds to get it over somehow or the other that I forget to read those. But today I was feeling so inspired from your class. Thank you. You know, thank you especially for that and reminding me that I need to go through those verses again. But thank you overall for everything that you spoke today. Thank you, Mataji, for your association. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Mataji.
All glories to our Guru Vargas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Myself, Hari Dada. Thank you so much for giving a class today. Your Vani, your time. And you reminded me of Prabhupada. And the way you explained and prosecuted the class was very nice. The outcome of it was so nice. It was detailed. It was very clear. It had a lot of clarity, like a mirror. You stand in front of a mirror and you can see your own self. So your class is similar to that. You know, when a person is hearing your class from all of its heart and mind and ears, they can understand what you're explaining and what you're detailing about and how what you mean by the class. It's so beautiful. Thank you. Your presence here today is just itself is Prabhupada's mercy and it's nectar of devotion, your presence. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, Koti Koti Danbar Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Srila Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Mataji, you put your efforts in the class and special mercy of yes, Mataji. We are not qualified to explain anything from Shishi Bhagavatam or Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrit. Whatever we prepare, half of the we forgot and half we remember about the mercy of Shishi Panch Tattva, our Guru Parampara. Very young age, Mataji, you get the special mercy of Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, our Panch Tattva, Guru Parampara. Your class is effect to each and every Mataji and Prabhuji because you are so pure Vaishnavi and you follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev so sincerely, Mataji. Because of work, you are not coming in front, but I know that you are one of the backside director of that fourth plinth. You are the one of the backside director with Vinita Gandharvai and Sita Priti Mataji. Ananta Koti Danvat Pranam to your Seva. How sincerely you narrating the class, Mataji. First 15 minutes, it's going hard because I have less sincerity or less knowledge, Mataji. But after that, by the mercy of Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, the nectar is coming from your Vani, Mataji, and everybody can feel that preparation and that mercy and whatever you follow in your day-to-day life. Even your two kids, Mataji, amazing singing, and they all read Sisi Bhagavad Gita. Hari Hari Gauranga, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam to your sincere Shiva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Bless Gopi you are, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Mataji, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. I'm just, I'm like a parrot repeating the words of them. Absolutely, I have no qualification and I want to become purer like you and all the Vaishnavas on the call. Only by your mercy I'm here. Bhakti Sangha has given me everything. I can't imagine what it has not given me. So I'm very, very thankful to Bhakti Sangha always. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you.
Agree, Mataji. All credits goes to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Gopinath and our Bhakti Sangha, all teachers, Mataji. They are working hard to give us Krishna conscious. I agree with you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Wow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful session, Mataji. Really beautiful. So many instructions and it was just for me that you have taken this class and you have explained that we should definitely not be callous. We need to be careful, you know, even when we are chanting, we need to make sure that we are doing our seva very sincerely. So thank you for such a beautiful class, Mataji. I even like the first time that you narrated by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. So wonderful, very nice. Like how the person is so ecstatic. Other people may not feel it, but that's how your class is also very, very wonderful. I mean, definitely you have so many realizations and you very, very grateful that you got to share them with us. Thank you so much, Mataji. Please continue to give us your association. It's very difficult to see you on the calls nowadays because it's a busy time for you, but definitely looking forward to hear from you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Indu Mataji, for giving me the opportunity. Hello?
Yes, Mataji. I was also confused by, I mean, there are so many different Ananta Devs, like Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, Zenshirodaka Shai Vishnu. And then you are saying that this Ananta Dev on whom the 14 planetary systems are resting, that is a different personality. Is that what you were saying towards the end, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, he's the Satyavesh avatar of the Lord. That is,
yes,
who's lifting the 14 planetary systems. But when he's being glorified, that is the personal form of the Lord, which is the second Chaturvyuha form, second Sankarsana, right? I mean, from Balaram, the four quadrupeds come, and then from the four quadrupeds, Narayana comes, and then the four Chaturvyuhas come, and the Sankarsana, the second Sankarsana, is the one who they are all worshipping.
Sorry to stop there.
Go ahead.
Because that's again another point of confusion for me. So you're telling that, I mean, the person who's being glorified is the second Chaturvyuha, Sankarsana. So my question is it directly the second Chaturvyuha Sankarsana, or is it an expansion of him who resides in the lower planetary system? Because that whole chapter is about the Anantadev who resides beneath the, in the lowermost planetary system, right? That's how the fifth canto is structured, right?
Correct.
From the second Chaturvyuha.
From the second.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
I can send you the diagram, Mataji, so everybody can refer to the diagram.
Sure, Mataji.
I'll try to send it after this call.
Mataji, so a question that I had was, you said he is a Shaktyavesh avatar, but yesterday in Prabhuji's class, he was talking about how Balaram went in and merged with that. You know, I mean, he went down to the lower planetary systems too. Go and merge with Anantadev and hold on to the universe. So, how do we?
Yeah, that's right.
That?
Go ahead, Mataji. That's correct. I mean, there's nothing contradictory in that. Even when we talk about the incarnation of Lakshman, Sesha merges with the second Sankarsan to make Lakshman. You know, it's the same. It's the same theory according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So, but who's taking the role of holding up the planets? It is another Jiva who gets empowered to hold up the planets.
Correct.
So it's like that. It's the tattva that we should understand. I mean, don't separate them as person, then it will get confusing. Did it make sense? I don't know if I spoke right.
You spoke rightly, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Jiva tattva is the one who's holding it and can't confuse that with the person who's being worshipped, who's the Chaturvyuha form.
Makes sense. Thank you so much, Mataji, both of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dear devotees, is there anybody else who would like to share their realizations?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Awesome, Mataji. Last minute also somebody can give class like this. Oh my God, very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful, glorious, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I have to re-listen one more time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vinita Gandharika, Mataji. And Indu Mataji, thank you. I mean, you just came to me and always it's a pleasure to talk about Mahaprabhu, and you gave me this wonderful opportunity. Really indebted to you. Thank you, Mataji. And Vinita Mataji, as usual, you're an all-rounder. So thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Prabhu.
Yes, Mataji, we have to talk about how you accepted it.
without seeing anything, you were, you know, you were on your way to an appointment, and in the middle of that, you still don't know if you have time or not, but still you accepted it because it's for glorifying their Lordship. So thank you so much. Very, very indebted to you, Mataji.
As I told you, nothing is mine, no realization of mine. I don't have any realization on my own. It's all borrowed at this point, and hope it becomes a realization one day.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry, go ahead, Mataji.
Yeah, I just, no question. I just need to tell you that I just enjoy not only hearing you, as I said before, I also so enjoy seeing you give class. You know, you just have such a very, very sweet demeanor, you know, it's very attractive. And so you make a person want to hear the class, and you don't even feel like you're hearing philosophy. You feel like, I feel like a child in a kindergarten class listening to her teacher tell a story. So it's very, very sweet. Thank you, Mataji, for your style of delivery. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gail Mataji. Not the class you miss, Mataji. Not the class you miss. I can hear you. Your Vani is seen in all classes, almost all classes. And it's a surprise. You don't have any questions. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
All thank you, too.
Srila Prabhupada.
Once again, I would like to thank Radhika Kasturi Mataji for a very beautiful class and for her great association today. Thank you so much, Mataji. Please give your association more often. Dear devotees, if there's no more questions or realizations, with Mataji's permission and all the devotees' permission, I would like to close the call. Vanchak.